I remember a lady one time said that she prayed to God for patience, and he gave her a baby. And she realized afterward that baby was to develop, so as to develop, to give her patience. And I don't think she prayed for patience anymore. It's often said that patience is necessary to live in Christian life. And in fact, many passages of the Bible talks about patience. If you want to turn your Bible to 1 Timothy 6, chapter verse 11. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, we're going to read that together then. And that passage, Paul, of course, is instructing Timothy in particular. But he says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. And the very next verse he says, therefore contend for the faith or fight the good fight of faith. If you go to 2 Timothy 3, chapter verse 11, or verse 10 there, verse 10, 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, and this after talking about the faith that Timothy had received from his mother and grandmother, Lois Eunice. But in verse 10, he said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Many translations, instead of long-suffering, has their patience. We don't know much about Timothy later on. In fact, after the Bible is written, we don't know anything else about him. I have not read any kind of books about the historical life of Timothy. But yet, Timothy has seen all the trials that Paul had gone through, and many of the trials at least Paul had gone through. And Timothy think that Timothy would have been faithful to do what Paul said. He would have had patience. But then turn your Bible now to our scripture reading over to Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke, the 21st chapter, the context of this passage is that Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. All trials are on face, deal with the destruction of Jerusalem, and also afterward, what's going to happen afterward. And let's read that again, verse 10, and starting Luke 21, verse 10. They said that nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. I kind of put myself in the mindset of those disciples that were there listening to him say this. Imagine how you respond when you start talking about you don't have all this turmoil around you. And there'll be great earthquakes in various different places and famines of pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they'll lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You'll be brought for kings, rulers for my name's sake. And yet, imagine how it feels to be told all this. You're going to be brought before kings, rulers, and we know that's true. That Paul faced Nero eventually, that the Sanhedrin had then brought the Jews and these disciples in particular to trial before them. He said, but it will turn out, verse 13, but it will turn out for you and a case for testimony. Therefore, settle in your minds and your hearts not to meditate beforehand what you will answer. For again, mouth and wisdom with which your adversaries not be able to contradict or resist. And so that part there is kind of comforting words, right? Don't worry about what you're going to say. I don't take care of it. Again, just be aware this is going to happen to you, but it's all going to turn out for testimony, so you can testify for people, spread the gospel to other people, in other words. But it says, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they'll put you, some of you, to death. And now go back to the honest part again. They don't be hated by your own family members. Don't be stoned to death, killed to death, or killed. They behave all for my name's sake, but not every head will be lost. And then verse 19 is key verse here. By your patience, possess your souls. And so we see, he says, here's the words coming. Here's what you have to keep in mind. You don't have to be patient with all this. And so basic question, first of all, defining patience. What does patience really mean? You look it up in the dictionary and it says, be of spirit not to lose heart. Not to get downcast, not to simply give up, not to take your ball and say, I quit and just go home. And so it's not to lose heart. It goes on, and then International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says, in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who's not severed from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety, even in the greatest trials. I want to stress that even through the greatest trials, no matter what you face, you're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. You're not going to forget your purpose in life. And then he goes on to say, patience implies suffering, enduring or waiting as determination of the will and not simply under necessity. Again, the last part of that to me stands out. In other words, there's some things we have to endure because we have no choice in the matter. That we simply have to do it. You don't have any choice. It's kind of like, I remember being about a year ago at a dentist's office doing root canal. And he kept on complimenting me on my patients, how well I was doing in the chair. And I thought, do I have a choice? I mean, really, you're there, you already been shot up, they're working your mouth. Do you really have a choice but to sit there and do it? But there's some things we have choices with. And so not just our necessity, in other words, not because we say, I don't have a choice to matter, but because we choose to have patience, we keep on doing it. And it goes on, so not easily provoked, and not the anger and wrath, not giving up. All implies the idea of patience. Not to just wipe the hand or just explode at people and just say again, they explode at God. We talked this morning about class about some people when bad things happen, they explode at God. Why does God do this to me? And so patience in a short word, one word answer would be to wait. It's waiting. And so I have to ask the question, do you have patience? You know, most times we think it's the other person that lacks patience, right? It's never me, or oftentimes we think it's the other person. Sometimes we realize, you know, I'm the one that really lacks patience. But do we really have patience? Sometimes we realize it's us. We're used to a fast food, instantaneous gratification society. I remember watching cartoons on television. They had the Jetsons. The Jetsons had this little box thing, and and they would put stuff in it and punch in some numbers, and out come food, already done. And we're used to that today. We have microwave ovens, right? That's what I'm talking about, microwave ovens. I like microwave ovens. I most time will not use the oven, the regular oven, because it takes too long. Why wait 20 minutes, 30 minutes for a regular oven when you have it with 5 minutes in a microwave? My mentality. I think it's a great invention, man. And so we have that, and only surpassed by the air fryer, I would say that also. Okay, just a little word of there. Air fryer is also great. But basically, where you send strange things? Email. I thought about the fact that it used to be settlers come to this country from Europe, and they write a letter back to Europe, to their family back there, or maybe those that live in this country, and they're going out west, and they write a letter. Once they got west, they let Ma Paul know where they're at, and they write a letter back to Boston or someplace like that. How long would it take from the time they left to finally hear from them? And then you write a letter to finally hear the letter get them, and then they write a letter back to you. How long would it take to get a letter? Today, we have emails. So that I can type in something and send it to you, and you receive it almost instantaneously. And in fact, sometimes if I don't get a response back within a day, I wonder, what's wrong? And so we have that. Instantaneous, you know, we're living in an instantaneous fast food type mentality of world. I bet our patient parent here has told the children, be patient. And talking to them, trying to tell them, you gotta be patient with me. And yet, there are things that try our patience as parents. Answering the why question 5,000 times in a day. Have you ever had that to happen? Why, mommy? Why, daddy? And you just kept on coming, why? And finally you feel like saying, because I say so. Which sometimes is the right answer, sometimes not the right answer. But it shows that we're getting impatient with our children. Standing in line at the world's slowest McDonald's. I kid you not. In Owosso, Oklahoma, where my mother-in-law used to live, those McDonald's there that I hated going to because it was, without doubt, the world's slowest McDonald's. Try my patience every day, every time I went there. Being put on hold on the phone for 5 minutes. I especially like when they answer the phone and say hello, and the next thing they say is, it's okay to put you on hold. Before you can say yes or no, they already clicked you here, and you have this terrible music on. And you're just wasting time on hold. And so we have things today to try our patience because of the way we grew up with our fast food, instantaneous mentality we have in our society. Even the Bible, though, people of faith had patience problems. Let me give you an example. That's Abram and Sarah. And we know in Genesis 12 chapter that God talks to Abram, and tells him and Sarah that they don't have a child. You don't have three promises, right? You don't receive the land. You don't receive a great lineage. And through your lineage, all the nations of people be blessed. And so we have that. And Abraham is what? He's 75 years of age at that point. Now, 75 years. And I'm not saying they went out the next day and start picking out bassinets and start preparing the nursery for the child. But I can understand him by the time the Genesis 15 chapter comes around. And I'm not sure how much time between Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 we have exactly. But by the time of Genesis 15, Abraham is starting to get a little bit upset with God, a little bit impatient with God, I feel like that. And so verse 3. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring, indeed one born in my house, my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And so he looks here and said, well, he's not my son here, but I have somebody in my household, so let's consider him my heir. And God said, no. So, okay. Then he brought him outside and said, verse 5, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and counted to him for righteousness. Now, Abraham passed test there, right? He said, okay. But then as you go over farther, by the time you get to the, by the time you get to the 16th chapter, Abraham says, okay, there's still no child. And by this time now, he's 86 years of age. 86 years old. So 11 years later. And this is when Sarah suggests that she take her, that he takes her handmaiden, have a child by her. We know the whole story about Ishmael. And so in Genesis 16, verse 2, so Sarah said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go to my maid, whereas I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham, hear the voice of Sarah. And we know how it turned out because they despised each other. I mean, it's a case where Sarah despised Hagar. Hagar really despised Sarah. And not only that, but Ishmael wasn't a child of promise anyway. But still, something that is often making decisions out of impatience leads to bad decisions. I just want to find out a few minutes from now. Usually backfires on us. We need patience when dealing with family problems, for instance. Look for a spouse. I know there's times you get, young people start to get that age where they start thinking about mating or having somebody to have as a mate, and they start looking around and maybe ask them, are you dating somebody? And you start thinking, well, what's wrong with me? And you start, you know, getting impatient. And so you have to be patient with that. Maybe it's the idea of doing marriage problems. You know, you have a problem with the amount of communication, husband, wife, or other kind of issues, but husband, wife, it takes time to develop and figure out what the problem is. And then to solve the problems, takes patience. Discipline training children. How many times with a young child do you tell them, okay, where's your eyes? And the little child, you point to their eyes, and where's your nose, and where's your ears, and then where's your teeth, and where's your head? And how many times do you do that? A bunch of times, right? Before you finally get to one day, you say, where's your nose? And they point to her. And you think, finally got to that stage where they're remembering what we're saying to them. And yet, a lot of times when we tell them things like pick up your room and they don't do it, first time we get upset with them. Why? Because we've been becoming patient. We have to have patience with our children also. Because they're not going to get everything the first time. Suffering. Suffering can create impatience. It creates distortion of time. King Saul. Have you heard the 1 Samuel 13 chapter, verse 8? There's a case of impatience. 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. Turn your Bibles there if you haven't already done so. And setting this again is important because he's there, lined up. The Philistines on one side of the valley, his troops, and he's on this side of the valley. And it says, verse 8, then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering, peace offerings here to me. And he offered a burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and they did not come within a day's appointed, and the Philistine gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistine will come down on me at Gilgal and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled to offer a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, which commanded you. For now the Lord has established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Now what are Saul's problems here? Well, first of all, he went beyond his authority. He did something he did not have authority to do when he offered the sacrifice He's the king of Israel. He's not the priest of Israel. He's not the high priest of Israel. And therefore, he did something wrong. And the only time we ever find that another person offer as served as the king and high priest both as two people, one Melchizedek in the book of Genesis, and the other is Jesus Christ. So he went beyond his authority. But also, why did he do that? He said in verse 12, they felt compelled, as if I had no choice. Now just think about this. Samuel said, I'll be here in 7 days. 7 days comes around, and Saul says, where's Samuel? I don't see him. And so he offers sacrifice. And as soon as he offers it, Samuel shows up. A little lesson there for us. There's a lot of times when we go impatient and do something we shouldn't do, feel compelled to do this, we find out that if we just wait a little while longer, it would have worked out okay. It would have worked out okay because Samuel was on his way. But Saul felt compelled, and therefore he offered a sacrifice he should not offer. How many times do we feel compelled to do something? How many times do we use that as an excuse? I had no choice in the matter. In other words, I had to do this. Lose patience with other people. Man, lose patience with his spouse. You get arguments, you get upset with each other, and before you know it, you walk away. Is that the right way to handle it? Maybe you lose patience with your children. I knew you'd never do it. I never could trust you to do what I tell you to do. You're always going to be like this. You're always going to be like that. Maybe you lose patience with fellow Christians. I just cannot communicate with them. Meanwhile, I just got to get away from them. I don't know what's wrong with them. Our parents, sometimes, we lose patience with them. Co-workers. We lose patience a lot of times, people. And so we think about that because I felt compelled to do it. Job is another person. Job, and we know all about Job in the first chapter. Job, that he lost everything, right? He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his servants. Lost his livestock. Lost his all his crops. And eventually, in the second chapter, loses his health. Now, again, we understand the trials Job was going through. And again, I'm not sure of the time element between Job the first chapter and Job the 42nd chapter. By the time you get to the 42nd chapter, though, I read this. Job 42, verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. In other words, God blessed him. Now again, I understand when we go through trials, where those trials seem like they last forever. But they don't. They're short-lived trials. Many of them are. The prophet trials mentioned to us in the book of James. I don't read this in a few minutes, but James 1st chapter and 5th chapter both talk about trials, persecution, and trials we have. And the reason is because life's full of trials. When you're young, your trials are different. When you're young, perhaps your trial is not having your cartoons on when they're used to them be on. As you get a little older, maybe your trial is mom and dad doesn't give you enough lunch money, or they won't let you go do something you want to do. And then as you get a little bit older, your trials is taking care of your children. And then as you get older, maybe your trials dealing with your own health issues. And so life's full of trials, personal problems, where they may be. And I've had some personal problems, but I realize I lived a very blessed life. Well, I hear people start talking about the trials and personal problems they have, family problems they're having, maybe other issues they have, and realize I don't have any compared to those folks. Maybe when you think about health issues. Christopher Reeves comes to mind for some reason. A man that played Superman way back in the 70s. And he goes horse riding and winds up falling off horse and winds up paralyzed from that time onward. I think about that. How would it be to be paralyzed, not able to walk at all, not be able to do anything at all? That's a real trial. Financial problems. People with the economy going up and down. Maybe you try to save money, but somehow it just disappears on you. And so Psalm 73, verse 3 stands out also. For David looks and he says, I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. In other words, sometimes trials we have to keep the big picture in mind to be able to handle what we're going through. What's the big picture of things? And when David said, I was envious of them because, you know what? It seemed like their sheep always had sheep. They did not miscarry, and they didn't have the enemies I have. But then he said, well, I saw then their wives and realized I was much better off. Those that are slain in the Bible also. Revelation 6 verse 9. Turn your Bible there. I'm not sure if you put that on your outline or not. But Revelation 6 verse 9, as you read through Revelation, we find this war going on between the church and the world, between Satan and God, right? And we see that, and the saints will be slaughtered. They're going to be killed. They're going to be persecuted. A terrible thing they have done is, well, 6 verse 9, Revelation. Then opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those that have been slain for the word of the Lord God and for the testimony which they held. Notice they were being slain because they held the word of God. Verse 10, they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge, avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? How long are you going to keep this going? How long do we have to keep on dying like this? The answer is this, next verse. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and said to them that they should rest a little while longer, till the both number of the fellow servants of their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. And the answer is, there's more dying to be done. That's not going to end right now. There's still more battle to be waged. And therefore, you don't have to be patient with it. Jesus, on one occasion, Mark 9, verse 19. In Mark 9, verse 19, he had been at Mount Transfiguration. Kind of like the epitome of glory there when God shows the disciples, Peter, James, John, Elijah, and John, anyway, the three people there. And this is my blessed son, hear him. And Jesus come down from the mountain transfiguration. And disciples there, still there, had a man bring his son to him. And they failed in healing the son. And Jesus' response there is, how long? How long do I have to put up with this faithless generation? How long do I have to deal with you? Even he grew impatient on that occasion. Paul was told to wait a while longer. If you turn your Bibles, let me turn over here. The 2 Corinthians. 12th chapter. And verse 7 through verse 10. So lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn of flesh is given to me, a messenger of Satan above me, lest I should be exalted above measure. During this thing, I prayed the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now think about how many times you've had some kind of issue and you prayed to God continually. How long, you know, God take this away from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I most gladly boast my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, and needs, persecution, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And the answer to Paul was, Paul, you don't have to endure this. I'm not going to take it away from you. And Paul says, okay, I understand now. Sometimes we get tired of waiting for justice. So there's all kinds of things we have to wait for. Now, the dangers of lack of patience presents to us are numerous. One is, get easily upset because we place too much emphasis on ourselves and not enough of God. In other words, it's easy to say, I give up because I'm not a perfect person. There's been times, I tell you, I preach lessons, and I walk away and think, why in the world am I allowed to even preach? Yeah. I messed up that lesson, I should have done that, and you say the wrong thing, and you think, why am I doing this? But you have to realize God often uses imperfect people. And so that's why we do it. Instead of Christ, I can do all things Christ strengthens me, I just can't, becomes our motto. Miss outbursts of wrath and anger again. Mouse towards others because they don't live up to our desires. They're not doing what I want them to do, so we get quick-tempered them. Maybe it's the case of you quit. If it don't work out this way, just quit. Walk away. I just quit. If the race don't be like this, I know the Bible says I'm face trials, but you know why? I didn't sign up for all this here. God's asking too much for me. Really? He gave his son to die for you? You're running the race, not because it's easy, because of the crown of life to the end of the race. That's why we run the race. Instead of seeing what you accomplish, you see what needs to be done. That's what the problem with people during the days of Nehemiah was. When they built the wall at the half the height, they quit. They wanted to quit because they thought, we can't complete it. When they built half the wall, what's going to stop them for the other half? Have you ever got this situation? You look at something needs to be done, and you just think, I can't do it? Yeah, you can. Just keep on, a little bit of effort. You get to keep on doing it. Becomes a pessimist. There's another thing. We just think about, the cup's always half empty. Instead of always half full. Those kind of trials come along because of lack of patience. And finally, the ability to take large is going to break down to small parts. Have you ever looked at something and realized that the only way you ever handle any kind of complex problem is not by looking at the problem as a whole, but as individual parts? For instance, I know you ladies can relate to this, but you go into a house and it's been trashed. And you think, and you just look at the living room's a mess, the bedroom's a mess, the kitchen's a mess, the jars all the place, and you think, how am I ever get this house back in order? Well, the first thing you do is you throw out the trash. Then you choose one room. And then you choose another room. And maybe you choose to wash dishes. And then you just go on to the next thing. Every problem can be solved if you break down small problem sections. So patience means certain things. It means, first of all, don't give up. Endurance. In Romans 12th chapter, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by renewing your mind, you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. You have to think differently. You have to don't give a thing on the world because the world wants to give up. The world says, I can't. Through Christ, we can. Things for a season. Turn your Bibles over to James 5th chapter. James 5th chapter, verse 17. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the earth for 3 years, 6 months. Excuse me, verse 7. I knew that was the wrong passage. Verse 7. James 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early or later rain. Now, Kevin, I know Kevin is out harvesting, but you know, what kind of farmer would go out there and plant seeds and go out the next day and say, I don't see them coming up inside to plow out the field and start it again. And then after a few more days, don't see any seed coming up and start plowing again and just have to redo the whole thing again. It takes time for seeds to grow. It takes earlier and later rains to produce a crop. You also be patient. Establish your heart for the coming of the Lord is at hand. In other words, don't be near. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standing at the door. In other words, judgment is coming. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed and endure. You have the perseverance, you heard of the perseverance. Job is seen and intended by the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So we have to see that trials are a temporary way of seeing forever, seeing life forever. For a season. I think about Regina's dad. I met Regina's dad and mom before I ever met Regina. I moved to Shoals, Indiana. Her parents were there the first Wednesday night, I think, I was there. And they went back to Oklahoma. About a few weeks later, they announced they had cancer. They had been discovered to have prostate cancer. At first, you know, felt sorry for him and prayed for him, but didn't mean anything really personal to me. Until later on, when I met Regina, I talked her into marrying me. And then it became personal. And at one point, I remember, he went through all these tests and all these experimental drugs. And each one seemed to work for a little while. And then they had a new drug. But finally, got to the point where the drugs were not working. And I thought, it just seemed like his person had prostate cancer long ago, so if anybody ever known. But I got thinking about it's only seeming like a short time period when it's over with. And then we'll look back on it. You know what? It was a short time period. That's the way life is. The trials we endure seem like forever, but they're for a season. We have to have faith and trust in God. We have to have patience. If you look over in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1st chapter. There in verse 4. So we commend ourselves, most among the church of you, for your patience and faith in your persecution and tribulation that you endure, which manifests evidence of the righteous judgment of God, then be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffered. We may not get what we want today, but we're going to get it in the end. If we say patient and faithful, running the race requires endurance. We have to keep our eyes on the goal. As mentioned earlier, Revelation, the 6th chapter, and but in the 14th chapter, we have more information given to us about this how long question. And Revelation 14, verse 12 says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faithful. I heard the voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says Spirit, they may rest in the labors of worth for all of them. If you're patient, then your family and loved ones can have the hope of heaven. That you have the hope of heaven. And finally, patience is necessary to develop character. Character. That inner part of us says, I know who I am. I'm not going to quit serving God just because something wrong happens, just because I have something that is unexpected in my life. Vice Pastor read to you is James 3, verses 4, 3, James 1, verse 3 and 4. Actually, verse 2. Start back at verse 2. My brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials. And that's hard to do because I know I'm not the kind of person that says, thank you, God, for giving me this trial. I just appreciate it. I love it. Just give me more of them. You know, I mean, keep on coming, God. No, that's not us, is it? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But if patience has perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. You see, patience is one of those things that it says you can endure. I'm going to endure. I'm going to keep on doing what God says. And therefore, Jesus says, in your patience, possess your souls. So, as we face our trials in life, let's just keep in mind what we're serving God for. We're serving God to go to heaven. And we know that that's through Jesus Christ we can make it. If we believe in Him, we're willing to confess in the Son of God, we want to be baptized, repent of our sins, be baptized, forgive our sins, we want to be faithful to God with our lives, then we'll make it to heaven. And so this morning we encourage you, if you're not on that road to heaven, if you're not doing what God said to do, why don't you start? Let's stand as we sing.